You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. Now, without further delay, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, "Watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, for if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." This is an important principle for us to emulate today. Watch our life and doctrine closely. Christ came to give us life, to give us life to the full. When we live the crucified life, in fact, we will recognize life that is life indeed. But it's important, along with our life, to have a plumb line, and that plumb line is the essential doctrines that form the fabric of the historic Christian faith. This is the North Star by which the course of Christianity is set. These are the essentials by which you can determine the difference between a cult and true Christianity. They're the line of demarcation, as it were, between the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the cults, and the world of the occult. But more than that, essential Christian doctrine is the very foundation upon which the gospel of Jesus Christ itself rests, from the deity of Jesus Christ to the eschatological certainty that he will come again. He will appear a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right. But how can you remember the essentials for which the martyrs gave their blood? Well, I put together a flip chart. It's called Essential Christian Doctrine. And I use doctrine as an acronym by which you can remember the very doctrines to which you have given your life. It is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Again, it's titled Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Andrew in Lansing, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for your ministry. It was a pleasure talking with you, first-time caller.
Nice to talk to you, Andrew.
I've been here recently. I want to make sure that I articulate my question correctly, because I think there's a host of questions under the umbrella of one. And it starts with Church of God in Christ. I left the church recently because of some of the doctrine regarding works. And it talks about in Galatians, you know, His grace, not works that any man should boast. But however, since I left, I've been kind of church hopping and have never found a body of believers. So trying to go through all the different denominations, Church of God in Christ, Baptist, non-denomination as a denomination. And it came out last Sunday when my wife was saying, just make a decision so I can support you. So I'm kind of in the indecision mode of getting into a healthy Christian environment so I can decipher essentials versus not essentials on there.
Yeah, well, the Church of God in Christ is certainly a church that, on the whole, upholds essential Christian doctrine. Although there are some yellow flags, they might not be fully red flags, but there are yellow flags. And in some of the churches aligned with that denomination, you find people who put an inordinate emphasis on works in the wrong way. Now, it's true that we should not work for our salvation, we should work from our salvation. So works are important, we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. So what we do now counts for all eternity. But there's nothing you can do to save yourself or to maintain your salvation. You are saved through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. I also think that their emphasis in speaking in tongues and the gift of healing as evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is problematic. I think this emphasis has caused many people through socio-psychological manipulation to conjure something up and attribute it to the Holy Spirit, which has nothing whatsoever to do with the Holy Spirit. So I think some of these things are problematic. Now, I'm not suggesting that God could not give the gift of tongues to someone. Certainly, God can give someone the gift of speaking in a language they haven't learned. He did it before, he could do it again, but it is in no way normative for the Christian church today. The gifts that God gave to the early Christian church was to identify them as authentic and to set them apart, and now they become the foundation by which we test what we do today.
Right. So, in searching for it, would Baptists be more aligned with that? Because I'm not familiar with the various different denominations.
You know, there's an article in the Christian Research Journal, and I think it's really an article for you. It's titled, What Denomination Should I Join? And it first and foremost makes very clear that denominationalism is a sin. It is a refusal to resolve disputes in biblical ways. It's a rejection of the one true church founded by Jesus Christ. So the whole notion of denominationalism is not the best. It is not the greatest plan for the church. But given what we have today, I think it's important to look for healthy, well-balanced churches as you have delineated them. Well, what does that mean? Well, you look for a church that genuinely worships God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word, which is to say that we worship in community, but we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and in that worship we find our own self-fulfillment in every way. But we're also to communicate with one another in ways that knit us together, as portrayed by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. So each part of the body needs every other part of the body. So we need not to be marbles bouncing off one another in an empty cathedral. We need to be knit together in the bonds of love. And then finally, we need to be those who are being instructed, equipped to communicate what we believe, why we believe, and in whom we have believed. So the church has to be equipping us, preparing us, because we were never called to be converts. We were called to be disciples. The word disciple, in contrast to Christian, by the way, is used 269 times in the Bible. The word Christian, 3 times. But even there, the connotation is always that we are to be Christians, learners or followers of Jesus Christ. So we have to be instructed in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So again, the 3 main pillars, or the 3 legs of the stool, if you will, are first of all the genuine worship of God, the genuine intimacy that we ought to have with one another that constrains the world as they look at us to say, see how they love one another and trains them to come to the body of Christ, and then being equipped to be able to communicate clearly what we have given our life to. When you find that in a church, you've found a healthy, well-balanced church, because you're not looking for a perfect church. You're looking for a healthy, well-balanced church. But in this article, What Denomination Should I Choose?, I think there's a wonderful list of 10, 11, or 12 items that in more detail give you how to choose a healthy, well-balanced church. I've also put together a paper on this, which is available on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
All right, I'll go on there and check that out.
Appreciate your
call. Thank you so much for your ministry.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gary, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Hank. I really appreciate your ministry. I've been listening to you for years.
Thank you.
I believe you have your ministry has been that plumb line for me to help me stay grounded in the truth. And I'd like to start out by telling you that I am what I consider to be a Baptist.
Hmm.
Okay. My church history is mostly Baptist. I grew up in a Baptist church, but I became interested in knowing more about these spiritual gifts, and I couldn't find anywhere where these gifts were done away with. So I went under the teaching of Pentecostals for 4 years, three different churches. The one church I spent 3 years in, I was deeply involved in the church and the ministry of music, and loved the people there. But after 3 years, the pastor proclaimed from the pulpit that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, I do believe that God gives those gifts to people today, but I'm not one of them. And when he said that, I felt like I had no other choice but to leave them. So I went to another Pentecostal church, and they believed you're saved if you don't speak in tongues, but you're going to be some kind of a second-class Christian with no power. So I ended up back in the Baptist church. My question to you is, what do you believe concerning this gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues?
Yeah. Well, interesting, just going through the progression of how you laid this out very succinctly and clearly. I love the way you communicate. The first is, I think, this notion of the gift being done away with. I think you're absolutely right in suggesting that that's not biblical. I don't think there's any place that you can absolutely ascertain that the supernatural gifts are completely done away with. I think that we see room in the Bible for those gifts to continue on, but I don't think we see that the gifts are normative after the first century, which is to say there's a foundation. That foundation is laid by the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, and the very works that they did demonstrated who they were. Their miraculous works demonstrated that they had been called out as those who set the foundation that today we rest upon. Now, I don't think that foundation has to be relaid on the one hand, but also I don't think that you can say that God cannot do in the present what he did in the past. Of course, God can give someone the ability to supernaturally speak in another language that they haven't learned. Of course, God can do a miracle through someone. All of these things are things that God can, and I would certainly suppose still does in the present epoch, but they're not normative. The normative gifts of miracles and tongues and so forth were for a particular purpose at a particular time. So again, I would agree with you that you can't make the case that they ceased, but I also think that it's important to add to that that they're not normative in the present day. The second thing that you mentioned, where someone is saying you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit, that's nonsense. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Your temple is the temple in which the Holy Spirit resides. And therefore, all believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They have come into a special relationship with God. But along with indwelling, there's also such a thing as infilling, and that is to say that we must continuously ask to be empowered for service. When Jesus left, and you see this delineated in the book of Acts right at the very beginning, you see that Jesus Christ is going to heaven, and what happens there is stunning. The disciples want to know about the times and the dates, and Jesus says, it's not for you to know that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So one of the first evidences that you are being empowered for service by the Holy Spirit is that you are a witness that testifies with power to the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the notion that tongues is the evidence of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, I think, goes beyond what Scripture says. There are many emphases and empowerments that we see, not the least of which is witness. So to say no tongues, no power is nonsense. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very, very clear there that Paul is asking a rhetorical question, which includes a question about tongues, and the answer to that rhetorical question is no, not all people speak in tongues. It is not a gift for everyone, not even in the first century church, let alone for today. So I think in all of this, it's so important for us to test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good. I would commend you to do the same thing with what I have just said. Take what I have said, test it in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good. We are coming to the station break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And as we go to break, I want to mention the Christian Research Journal. The current issue is just exquisite, extraordinary, not only in presentation, but in content. If you're not a subscriber and you listen to the broadcast, do yourself a favor, subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. I know it will be a blessing in your life, in the lives of family members, friends, maybe even your pastor. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, where you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal in a safe, secure fashion. Also support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute right there at equip.org. Be right back in a moment.
In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. But in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, noted Christian counselor Ellen Dykus helps women find sexual sanity through the wise, unashamed, bold teaching of the Bible. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Secure is the personal and powerful story of Hank Hanegraaff's close friend, Rick Dunham. And it's a book that shows how you can discover real security based on something besides your paycheck, possessions, or portfolio. Secure is our thank you for your donation to help CRI create more broadcast books and other resources that share the essential truths of Christianity. Your partnership matters, so please call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request your copy of Secure today. 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick call to those who can contribute to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you can, this would be a great time to give. We need your support, both prayerfully and financially. You know, so often I am a bit conflicted as I ask people to support this ministry because I've been doing this for over 2.5 decades. And God's always been faithful. He's always provided, but He uses means. And so we let people know that we need them to stand with this ministry, the Holy Spirit moving through you to provide the resources so that this ministry can reach out and make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. I'm so moved by the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where he's talking about the Philippian believers or the believers in Macedonia who give liberally to the needs of the gospel, particularly supplying the needs of the Apostle Paul. They give out of their want. Many of them had been wealthy, but when they came to faith in Christ, they lost their financial base and their social standing, and yet they supported the work of the ministry because they wanted to rest upon the arm of God as opposed to resting upon the arm of flesh. Again, if you can give, be deeply appreciated, of course, used for the propagation of the gospel. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Karen in Raymore, Missouri, KCCV. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I'm going to be real quick because I'm actually on my way to Bible study, but I have a question. I was recently told by somebody that calls themselves a Hebrew that a lot of Christians are not actually saved because they do not know the real name of the Son of God, which they said was Yeshua. And they said that Jesus is actually a transliteration from Hebrew to Greek to Latin, and Jesus, the name itself, actually has no meaning. I'm not persuaded or moved by them at all, but I'm just curious as how I should respond to that, or if I should just pick my battles and pray for them.
Yeah, pray for them, because the New Testament writers could have transliterated the Hebrew Yeshua when they wrote Christ's name in the Greek language, but they didn't. They used the Greek Iesus, which has now been translated into the English as Jesus. But look, at the end of the day, it's not the language that you're speaking in. It's the meaning that you pour into the word that is all sufficient. So when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ in the English language, we can be certain as believers that He hears us and He cares about our call.
That's what I said. Okay, so I just wanted to hear what you would have to say. That's all I wanted. Thank you so much.
You got it. Again, the inspired Greek New Testament uses Iesus, from which we get the English equivalent, Jesus. And, you know, this discussion comes up all the time in various ways. For example, Allah. Well, if I say Allah, am I calling out to the Muslim God? No, it all depends on the meaning you're pouring into the words. There are all kinds of Palestinian Christians that say Allah, but when they do, they pour into that word in their language the God of the Bible, not the God of Muhammad, who is no God at all. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Matthew Joplin, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Hank. This This is Matthew. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I have kind of a maybe a roundabout question, and then just kind of maybe explain a little bit. I'm just going to take a little bit to explain what I'm trying to understand, and then maybe you can help me from there. So I kind of come from a background. Are you familiar with the Identity Ministries?
A bit.
Like Christian Identity?
Yep. Yep. In fact, we did an article in the Christian Research Journal on the Christian Identity Movement.
Yeah. Well, I was raised in kind of a an identity-type church, and, you know, I've really struggled a lot with some things that have gone in on, and I just kind of have some real concerns in my spirit, and so I've really been in a searching mode in my life. I have I've been looking for a church and kind of trying to find a way, you know, to Jesus Christ, because, you know, all the things that I was taught were just kind of, I guess, they were kind of like teaching you a law, and they were teaching you to keep a certain law, to keep a certain, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it basically, it's like you have to keep a law, and you have to keep this Old Testament, and you have to be this certain kind of person, you know, or you're not going to go to heaven. And, you know, I found it really, I don't know, in my spirit, it really bothered me. And, you know, I've really been in a searching mode for quite a while. And now, now I'm out of that church, been out of that church for a while. And I've been going to the Seventh-day Adventist church. And I guess I need maybe some spiritual guidance, because at this point in my life, I just kind of feel like I know you're not doing personal issues, but at the same time, I'm searching.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Matthew, I appreciate you calling, and sometimes we step from the frying pan into the fire, and you don't want to do that. You want to know exactly what you're aiming at when you're looking for a healthy, well-balanced church. You don't want to stay in the same kind of genre of false teachings or false premises in the church. And I often say, who aims at nothing invariably hits it. In other words, you have to know the target. And the target is a healthy, well-balanced church, but what does that look like? Well, first and foremost, it is a church in which God is worshiped in spirit and in truth. So it is the vertical relationship between a person and their God, and that person worshiping Christ in community, in the community of the saints. I mean, community is identified in many ways. One, you're baptized into a community of saints. Secondly, you take communion, and when you do, your communion with others is a demonstration that your communion is genuinely with God, because we ultimately can only commune with Him through the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ for the complete remission of our sins. So the whole worship of God in spirit and in truth through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word is axiomatic to a healthy, well-balanced church. And then I think it's really important to get out your Bible and read Romans chapter 12, because in Romans chapter 12, we have a prescription for what it means to identify with the body of Christ in unity. In other words, the oneness that Christ calls us to. So it's not only worship, but it's oneness. It's a vertical relationship. It's also a horizontal relationship. And then a church that grounds you so that you don't fall back into error, where you learn not only what you've given your life to, but why you believe what you believe, and have a crystal clear grasp on what it means when you talk about the nature of God, because virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. So there are a couple of things that I want to do for you. One is, there's an article that we did in the Christian Research Journal, which gives a very good overview on what to look for in a healthy, well-balanced church. Secondly, there's an article that I wrote, which you can find on the World Wide Web, but I'd be pleased to send you as well, which also identifies what a healthy, well-balanced church looks like. Once you know what you're aiming at, you'll be able to find a healthy, well-balanced church. You won't be able to find a perfect church, but you will be able to find a healthy church. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Dory in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WORD. Hi, Dory.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
My question for you is, I have an uncle who talks to both his dead wives and my dead father. And every time I'm around him, my spirit just really, it's very uneasy around him, and it's like we're in conflict. He doesn't think so, but I feel the conflict.
What does the conversation look like? What does it sound like?
All I know is he speaks to both his dead wives. I don't know what he says, but whenever I was around him at my mom's house, because he lives with my mother now, we were downstairs looking for a certain tool in my dad's workshop, and we couldn't find it, and he just went right to my dad and says, okay, Jerry, we can't find this. Now you need to help us find where this tool is.
Yeah, yeah.
I looked at him. I had all I could do to stay there and stand next to him because it really bothers me. But I need to know in the Bible where I can go and point him to Scripture that this is wrong what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, the quintessential passage on this is Deuteronomy chapter 18, where you see that consulting the dead or speaking to the dead is part of an occultic worldview, not a Christian worldview. Also, what came to mind as you were talking is the passage in Isaiah chapter 8, where you have God saying in no uncertain terms, here am I, and the children the Lord has given me, we are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion. When men tell you to consult mediums and spirits who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? So Isaiah is saying, as a mouthpiece for the Lord, don't consult the dead. If you want to know something, talk to your God. Your God will reveal what you need and nothing more. Where consulting the dead is playing on the field of superstition. The dead can't help you, but Satan is more than happy to capitalize on your superstitions.
Okay. I know the only one I could find was in Leviticus, where it says not to consult mediums and spiritists, with consulting the dead.
Yeah, again, though, the quintessential passage in this regard, although Leviticus could be used, I think, is Deuteronomy chapter 18. Just read it in its entirety, and you'll kind of get the idea of why Moses is making this an edict for the people. Don't do these things. If you got questions, inquire of your God. Because it really shows who you have your ultimate allegiance to. Either the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light, or superstition as opposed to what we get in Scripture. So the Scripture is always the barometer for a believer. So Deuteronomy chapter 18, but remember, it may be that he doesn't know the Lord. Now, the first thing that you want to do is be able to share the gospel effectively, because when people embrace the gospel, their habits change as well. Pagans do what pagans do. They exercise their job description. What should a Christian do? Be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. Going to have to leave it at that. I am coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates 888-275-4265. Many of the resources that I talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast can be found on the World Wide Web at equip.org. It is a destination that literally thousands and thousands of people go to each and every week so that they can get vetted materials in concert with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God Almighty. Be right back with more answers.
Over the past century, the Western world has become increasingly secular and post-Christian. This is often attributed to increasing education and prosperity. But the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal will provide you with an abundance of data that suggests the opposite and points to a very different, more surprising explanation. To learn more, start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We often look for security in places where it can't be found, in money, our career, or our health. That's why CRI's broadcasts are so powerful, as they help people discover the real security that's found in Jesus. But we can't do it without your help. Your generous support today helps us reach more lives with God's Word. And in thanks for your gift, we'll send you a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham to help you clearly see the security Christ freely offers you. So please request your copy of Secure by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go right back to our phone callers. Yvonne next, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on KQCV. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
Yes, I was just saying, I've had a whole lot of problems about
whether I am just being religious or if I'm truly saved. I just grew up in a Christian home and been in church all my life. My dad was a preacher. And I've been a Sunday school teacher and involved in student missions. And so, I know people are saying it should be a drastic change in your life and success. I'm not really successful financially. And I don't know if it's just Satan just keeps telling me that I'm really not saved.
Yeah. Well, financial success is no barometer for spirituality. If it was, then you would find the greatest Christians in the Forbes 500. But I don't think that's where you find the greatest Christians. Now, I believe in a form of Christian capitalism, which means responsibility associated with wealth. I don't think there's anything wrong with wealth unless you become addicted to it. You want to use it for the extension of God's kingdom. A rich man can help a poor man where a poor man can't necessarily help another poor man, especially when it comes to their financial needs. But I think more to the heart of your question, what's important to recognize is that when you become a believer, you become a disciple, a reproducing disciple maker. That's the word that's used in the biblical text of followers of Jesus Christ. They are called disciples. They're learners or followers of Jesus Christ. They are those who recognize that they're sinners, have repented of their sin, and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and then are set apart through baptism and become those who daily take up their cross and follow Jesus Christ. So with birth must come growth, and the means of growth are given to us in the Word of God. We have means of growth like getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into us, prayer. If we are not involved in reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God and praying to God, we become spiritually anemic. So we want to partake of the spiritual disciplines modeled by Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul and others in the biblical text. So we can't just say, well, now I've said a prayer, I'm in. No, I mean, we want to live the Christian life as followers of Jesus Christ, so that we might have life that is life indeed. But if you realize that you are a sinner and have repented of your sin and have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the wonderful thing is that your faith is not based on your feeling, it's based on His promise. Whoever hears my word and receives Him who sent me has everlasting life, will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life, from death to life eternal. So we can be absolutely certain of our salvation, Yvonne. And I think that we must then partake of the means of growth so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not involved in that, then you become anemic and you don't have the sense of the Holy Spirit moving within you.
Okay.
If you'd like further information on that, this whole notion of being a reproducing disciple maker, hang on, we've got some great resources. I think that would be helpful to you. You have to partake of the means of grace. One of the books that I wrote in this regard is a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, because Satan does want to steal the seed that has been sown in your life. The Covering, I think, will be very helpful so that you get an idea of how to apply the spiritual disciplines to your life. Hang on, we can get this kind of information out to you. Back to the phone lines. Tim, Omaha, Nebraska, listening on KLCV. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Hank, huge fan. I've been listening to you for about 5 years now, so it's truly a pleasure that I get to speak with you right now.
Well, nice to talk to you, Tim.
My question is, obviously, I've heard you talk about before the documentary by Bill Maher, Religious, I believe is what it's called.
Yeah.
He comes to the conclusion that Christianity derived from Egyptian folklore. I don't know if that's the right word. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, essentially from the mystery religions. But look, Bill Maher is not credible on virtually any level. He thinks that the Bible is entirely parabolic, for example, or he thinks that the Bible teaches that the world's 6,000 years old. I mean, he's just unreliable. He sets up straw men and knocks them down. And certainly this is something that he does when it comes to the notion that Christianity is derived from mystery religions. I mean, the mystery religions, they reduced reality to a personal experience of enlightenment. But Christianity is committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. So the mysteries in Christianity have little in concert there. Furthermore, I think it's really important to recognize that the mystery religions involve secret esoteric practices, and that the Christian faith, in contrast to that, is rooted in history and evidence. So the people, the places, and the particulars that you find in the Word of God correspond to reality. This is not some esoteric practice. And furthermore, the mystery religions were syncretistic. In other words, they took a little piece of this and a little piece of that, homogenized them together. Christianity was always rooted in the notion that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. So it's hardly syncretistic. There are only so many people that think, well, all religions say essentially the same thing. This is not true. Krishna believed in many gods. Moses only believed in one God. Buddha was agnostic with respect to God. They can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. So again, the kinds of notions that he is communicating is just the abundance of his own ignorance.
Okay. Yeah, that's, watching that documentary and some other ones, you know, they don't really try to see both sides. They try to prove their side correct.
Well, they're setting up a straw man. They're being intellectually dishonest. And I deal with this actually in a book that I wrote called Has God Spoken? You know, I take on all the nonsense of people like Bart Ehrman, Bill Maher, and others who seek to discredit Christianity and the Bible through their setting up straw men as opposed to dealing with reality.
Okay. And I just like to point out one of my favorite words that I've come to love listening to your program is discernment.
Yes, yes.
And doing a lot of research and studying, I just want to thank you for God using you in this in your ministry to help others.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate those kind words. And that's really what this ministry is all about. It is a discernment ministry, seeking to help people discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light. So we need discernment. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jesse, Orlando, Florida, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Jesse.
Good afternoon, Hank. How are you doing this evening?
Doing well. Nice talking to you.
Hey, my question today is about apostles and prophets of the day. I'm finding a lot of people who are claiming to be prophets and apostles, and I don't see that be biblically true. Why is that? And when they start calling themselves that, the year that has really started coming out.
Yeah, you know, I think something that I say so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is appropriate here. Words are not univocal, they are equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context permits them to have. So there's a sense in which someone can say that they're a prophet, not in the sense of the biblical prophets who could foretell the future by the power of God, but in the sense of strengthening or edifying the church as delineated in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But there are so many today that claim that they can do just what the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles did, and that is to say they could foretell the future or do the miraculous works that the apostles did. And this simply is not true. The apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church, and that foundation has already been laid. Christ is the cornerstone, and they were validated by their prophetic prowess. So the prophets, they made predictions, like Daniel the prophet said what would happen in minute detail. He was prophesying in the 6th century. He's talking about what would happen in the 2nd century. What he prophesied came to pass because he was an oracle. He spoke for the Lord. The same thing is true with Jeremiah and his predictions, or Isaiah, or Ezekiel. And likewise, the apostles were attributed to by great miracles that demonstrated that their authority came from their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now we look back at their words, and we say, this is the inspired word of God, and we test all things in light of that and hold fast to the good. Modern-day prophets and apostles that seek to say that they're on the same level as the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles are simply deceiving themselves and deluding people.
Another question I have, too, also, it's interesting, too, that the fivefold ministry that most churches claim to want to have in their ministries is that you don't really see them edifying the body of Christ or bringing us into the unity, the faith of who the Son of God is too, as well. So it seems to be there's a lot of work that needs to be done for the so-called fivefold ministry.
Yeah, that's wonderfully said, Jesse, and I write about this in my book, Counterfeit Revival. The whole movement afoot today is very disturbing and deflective to the body of Christ, and thus we should test all things, hold fast to the good. Again, I've written about this in my book, Counterfeit Revival. There's an updated version of that book available right now as well. I want to go back to the phone lines in the few minutes we have left and talk to Nyla, Merced, California, KCIV. Hi, Nyla.
Hi, Hank. I thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question concerns a Bible translation. I have a letter from the American Bible Society. They're requesting donations to send Bibles to wounded veterans. And I'm not familiar with this translation. The Bible they send is the GNT version. And I want to make sure that this is a reliable version. And it is titled A Special Armed Forces Edition.
Yeah. Yeah, here's what I can do. I just have a few moments before the broadcast is over, but here's what I can do for you. We have an article on Bible translations that I'll send out to you, and then we'll also talk to you off the air and give you some information on this as well. So don't go away. Hang on. We can get this information out to you. And by the way, thank you so much for checking in on this. It's so important today to make certain that you are equipping people with good, reliable information. Again, we have information available on Bible translations. I've written about this in various places as well. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. As we sign off, our contact information one more time on the web. It's equip.org via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. It is always resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, thank you for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, just log on to equip.org. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.